Hello, my name is Ondřej Kolář and I am the mayor of Prague 6, which is one of the districts of the city of Prague, the capital of the Czech Republic. I would first of all like to thank you very much for the opportunity I've been given to speak in this forum. I think it is absolutely necessary to talk about totalitarian regimes and the practices they use to endanger democracy. Although we live in democratic countries, we all or most of us, to be more precise, have our own experience with totality and regimes which have decimated our countries for decades. I'm now talking about the Central and Eastern Europe region. The question or the topic of this conference is freedom versus communism, and my topic is whether the Czech Republic or Czechoslovakia has succeeded in overthrowing communism in 1989, and what are the current Russian and Chinese influences in the Czech Republic or in Prague. To take it from the very beginning, it is important to say that Czechoslovakia actually did succeed in overthrowing communism in 1989. We went through what we call the Velvet Revolution, when the communist regime collapsed and was actually replaced by a democratic regime. The bad thing actually is that we in Czechoslovakia or in the Czech Republic never got completely rid of communist, or maybe better to say totalitarian, thinking. It is still in our heads. We are still sort of set up to think differently than people in the West. This is maybe because there was no actual decommunization process. The Communist Party was never outlawed, its members weren't sanctioned for their crimes, which they have committed during the communist era, and many of them remained in their offices, although communists were actually expelled from the highest ranks. We never actually sadly followed the path of Germany after Second World War, when the Western or the victorious allies have implied very strong denazification, which, as we all know, led to the fact that former Nazis couldn't find themselves in the new Germany. Further, Czech communists actually never gave up or distanced themselves from the crimes and wrongs of their reign. And this is very visible today when we have a populist government which is actually backed up or held in power by the communists. I will get to this later during my speech. So after the fall of communism, people were actually full of optimism and many reforms were imposed. We have successfully passed from a centrally planned economy to an open market economy. Free elections and competition between political parties have emerged. Democratic institutions were formed, for example, the Constitutional Court. But only small reforms were made in the educational system, which is actually still pretty much the same as it was before 1989. People, of course, learn different things, but the system remains the same. There is actually a very strong unwillingness among the teachers to speak about the communist era in schools, and children and young people have very small awareness of what was happening here after 1945, or to be more precise, after 1948, when the communists actually came to power. Modern history is not taught at all. When you go to a history class in the Czech Republic, you usually end the curriculum with the French Revolution. The 20th century is not being taught too much. Only very briefly. People are not being taught how to think critically, how to look for or how to look up information, and how to evaluate the information. And this is, of course, very easy then for all anti-democratic powers to get stronger and stronger, because they use all possible disinformation campaigns and fake news to spread their propaganda among the people. The truth is, though, that the longer communism lasts, the heavier its heritage will be. To sort of look more deeply into the problem and to understand the state of minds and the state of affairs of state of minds of the people in the Czech Republic and the state of affairs in the Czech Republic, I would like to turn to a quote which was made by Václav Havel, our first democratic president who was or anti-communist president who was elected first in 1989. He said that we fell morally ill because we became used to saying something different from what we thought. We learned not to believe in anything, to ignore each other, to care only about ourselves. Concepts such as love, friendship, compassion, humility, or forgiveness lost their depth and dimensions, and for many of us they represented only psychological peculiarities. I am talking about all of us. We had all become used to the totalitarian system and accepted it as an unchangeable fact, and thus helped to perpetuate it, and in other words, we are all, though naturally to differing extents, responsible for the operation of totalitarian machinery. None of us is just its victim. We are all also its co-creators. To actually interpret this, it is important to say that there was a lot of waste in people's hearts and minds. It quickly became clear that without a major readjustment of attitudes, the post-communist predicament would become a trap and the nation would never actually move forward to become a normal country, a country with a free government and free markets under the rule of law. This is important, the rule of law. The Czech Republic today is a country with the rule of law, the country which values traditional values, which sort of fights for traditional values, but these traditional values, such as the rule of law, human rights and such, are today very much endangered by our populist government and its helpers. In the era of Soviet imposed socialism, most people withdrew into a kind of private quietism. Associations seldom extended beyond small circles of relatives and close friends, and the public realm was dominated by the Communist Party state and its enforced conformities. People were not used to thinking for themselves, being proactive or taking risks. And this is something you can see again today. People are quiet, not proactive, they don't want to take any risks. They sort of turn into themselves and their small social groups, be it them being afraid or losing respect to the regime, I don't know. People's minds and thinking are shaken today. And as I stated earlier, we never got completely rid of totalitarian thinking and failed in a clear and strong decommunization process. Now, the anti-democratic tendencies in Central and Eastern Europe are on a rise, and they are very well and very strongly nurtured by Russia, which seeks to control the Central and Eastern European region again, or at least to keep it as its sphere of influence. Three out of the four Visegrad countries are nowadays governed by populists, be it Viktor Orban in Hungary, be it Andrej Babiš in the Czech Republic, or be it Jaroslav Kaczynski in Poland. Only Slovakia is an exception, which is a paradox because during the Second World War, as we all know, Slovakia was a fascist state and an ally of the Nazi Germany. What is going on in the region? We, I think, are witnessing a slow destruction of democratic principles and values. When populists rise to power, they tend to criticize very strongly the current state of affairs. And we all see this. Viktor Orban, for example, before he came to power, anyone who was in opposition first, such as Andrej Babiš, for example, in the Czech Republic, they tend to criticize the current government. But once they succeed in free and democratic elections, Any criticism then of their ruling and their government is not seen and described by them as criticism of themselves, but as a danger or a criticism of the whole nation or of the whole country. And again, when you look to today's Hungary, you can see that Viktor Orbán tries to impose rules and laws which would enable him to rule the country freely by himself, and anyone who tends or tries to criticize him is seen as an enemy of the state. In the Czech Republic, it's almost the same. Elected authorities tend to use democratic principles and instruments to get to power, of course, in order to destroy the values and principles they used. So again, you are a populist, you want to get to power, so you use all the democratic instruments you have. Once you get to power, your first intention is to destroy them, logically. How to face or tackle this? Well, there are many important instruments that need to be protected, such as the free media, independent courts, guaranteed human rights and freedoms, rule of law, and others. The free media, I think, are inevitable and vitally important for democracy and freedom. Freedom of speech is absolutely important, but is also very easily abused. I wouldn't like to be seen or understood as a fan of censorship, but my personal opinion is that a state which is unable to control anti-state activities and excuses them with phrases of the freedom of speech is pretty much incompetent. In the Czech Republic today, people mistake their right to talk freely for a possibility to lie and undermine the very principles of democracy and foundations of the state. I will use now the example of the chairman of the Communist Party in the Czech Republic. This man openly criticizes the very principles of Czech state, of Czech democracy, and the values that Czech state is built on. He, for example, said that people who fought for our freedom were mistaken and they shouldn't be commemorated and valued because when they fought for the freedom of Czechoslovakia, they actually also fought against world communism. This is bad. There is also a very strong and visible abuse of media for particular needs and political fight. The Czech Prime Minister, whom I have mentioned earlier, Andrej Babiš, for example, owns a number of newspaper and radio channels or stations. And of course, he concentrates great power in his own hands. He uses his media to sort of advertise himself. You know, these media do not criticize Andrej Babiš or his government. All other media which do this are, as I said, seen and mentioned by Andrej Babiš, the Prime Minister, as the enemies of the state. For example, the Czech TV, publicly owned TV, is for quite a long time very implicitly criticized by the Czech president, Miloš Zeman, and Czech populists and non-democratic parties such as the communists or nationalists and fascists. Today, these people have installed their representatives into the management of the Czech television, so we are all pretty much curious on what's going to happen, if the Czech television will still be able to provide us with free news or whether it will be somehow manipulated into telling the people what these parties and non-democratic politicians want to hear. In the Czech Republic today, we are witnessing erosion of political and social norms and implication of totalitarian practices. Populists are very effectively working with people's moods, especially frustration, anger, and create an impression that democracy and democratic parties are all corrupt and that they abuse the people for their own profit. I'm pretty much sure that this is the same in many other countries. I have stated before that during communism, people tended to turn to the state, which had absolute control of everything, as to someone who will solve their problems and will take care of them. Today, after the fall of communism, people have to take care of themselves, they have to compete, and this, of course, frustrates them. They are not used to this, they don't want this, and they turn to simple alternatives, which in their eyes will effectively replace all the complicated politicians who speak of abstract things such as the human rights. What do I need human rights for? I cannot buy milk or bread for human rights. But it's, you know, very simple. People do need their human rights. If you want to talk, it's one of your human rights, freedom of speech. People tend to look for simple solutions, and this again is the still alive totalitarian mentality and outcome of the destruction of traditional values. And again, this creates a good environment for the populists. These people, the populists, are very strongly aided by many societies and clubs. Here in the Czech Republic, we have many clubs and societies which gather former active communists and their sympathizers, be it, for example, former soldiers from the Czechoslovak army or members of the secret police, who most of them they have come together in various military clubs and such. There are many active pro-Russian and populist parties in the Czech on the Czech scene, and also in the parliament. For example, be it the communists, the fascists, or the nationalists, they all of them cooperate very strongly, and they use the same narratives. And now it's very, I would say, it's not important, but it's quite easy to identify that the narratives that are used by Czech communists and Czech nationalists are the same as the narratives that are being used in the Kremlin by Russian officials and also the Czech president. And I will also get back to this later on. Although these parties are all from the different ends of the political spectrum, they are all united under nationalist slogans. But in our case, the nationalism that is presented by these parties is actually no Czech nationalism at all. They only camouflage Russian imported populism or strange pan-Slavism, or I don't know how to call it. Political elites such as the president are corrupted by the Chinese and Russian regimes. That is a fact. They cooperate with what I call sleeping agents here in the Czech Republic, people who are directly financed either from Russia or the Kremlin to spread the Chinese and Russian propaganda. And as you can see, the atmosphere here in the Czech Republic is not very optimistic, and totalitarian influences and tendencies are very strong. I mentioned China. China is a very big issue now in the Czech Republic. China openly blackmails Czech officials. Russia threatens Czech citizens and politicians by criminalizing their actions. And this is my case, which I will briefly describe in a while. To get back to China, Chinese diplomats here in the Czech Republic blackmail Czech politicians who do not speak of China in a manner or in a way which would satisfy Chinese diplomats and Chinese officials. We had a case not long ago of the Czech Senate, or more precisely the chairman of the Czech Senate, who decided to pay a state visit to Taiwan, which has upset the Chinese, and they started to blackmail him. The chairman of the Senate, Mr. Kubera, unfortunately died a few months ago. And many people and his colleagues said that he actually died, or his death was a reason of Chinese pressure. This hasn't been proven, but his successor, the new chairman of the Senate, has yesterday decided to go to Taiwan instead of the late ex-chairman of the Senate. And what happened again is that the Chinese started blackmailing the new chairman of the Senate. The Chinese embassy in Prague said that if he were to go to Taiwan, it will very much it will have a negative effect on Czech-Chinese relations, that he will have to face, he himself actually will have to face consequences of his trip. And many Czech politicians have sort of taken this Chinese narrative as their own, and they have started blackmailing the chairman of the Senate together with the Chinese. This is the case of the president of the country, the chairman of the House of Representatives, for example. These people are telling us that we cannot make our own decisions and that we cannot upset China by traveling to Taiwan. This is completely unacceptable. I do understand that there is some sort of foreign policy and that China sees Taiwan as part of its territory, but I do very much understand the intention of the Senate chairman to travel to Taiwan. If I were in his place, I would do the same. If the Chinese think that they can dictate to us what we are to do and what we are not to do, well then, the only reaction can be that we will do what we want to do and not what the Chinese tell us. The same case is with Russia. As I was talking about my case, I have, together with my colleagues from the municipal assembly, made a decision to remove a statue of Marshal Konev, the Soviet marshal who led the Red Army, or the part of the Red Army, in the end, or at the end of the Second World War, and liberated much of Czechoslovakia. We had his statue in Prague 6, and we have decided to remove it last year. After the decision, we have become subjects of Russian propaganda. I, myself, have been called names by Russian officials. They have stated that I am a Nazi, that the whole municipal assembly of Prague 6 is full of fascist politicians, that there are very strong fascist tendencies in Prague 6, and that we are sort of trying to rewrite history in a manner which is very uncomfortable and not true. The fact is that the statue of Marshal Konev was a historical mistake, because it said that the monument stated that Marshal Konev saved Prague from being destroyed. What we did is we said this is not true. We tried to come up with a historical fact that was placed on the monument, but this only aroused the Russians, and as I said, they have started this ugly propaganda campaign. After the monument was removed this year in April, I had to be given police protection because there were some findings of the Czech police and the Czech secret services that there might be a danger from Russia, directly from Russia, imposed not only on me but also the Lord Mayor of Prague and one of my colleagues, a mayor of a neighboring district, Prague district. All three of us have been critical to Russia. And I spent 3 months under police protection. I've been receiving direct threats from Russia. Russian officials have called for my assassination, for example. A Russian political scientist from, I think, St. Petersburg said that I should be dealt with as Reinhard Heydrich. Some people who are linked to the Czech extremist and totalitarian scene have created a hoax that my grandfather was a member of the Gestapo, and it's actually very, very uncomfortable, I must say. What happened as a reaction in the Czech Republic was very shocking, because when the Russians started blackmailing us and calling us Nazis, every normal person would actually think and wait that Czech officials and Czech politicians and Czech representatives would stand up for him. But what happened here is that our president said that it's quite all right. We, as unimportant politicians, do not deserve anything else, and that Russia has the right to react, but that he thinks that they shouldn't react in a manner they did. Czech communists, Czech nationalists, and all these extremist parties have come up with the same narratives as the Russians, that we are Nazis, fascists, and all this, that we should have be dealt with in a proper manner, and that we do not deserve anything else than the Russians are trying to impose on us. The truth is that the Russians have come up with a new law which says that anyone who somehow demolishes or manipulates with monuments that are dedicated to the Red Army should be punished in Russia. I have been sentenced as a criminal now in Russia. So the Russians have actually criminalized me for doing something which is totally in compliance with Czech law. So again, I am being criminalized for my actions as a free elected Czech politician. How is this possible? The question is, of course, to sum it up, whether democratic politicians and parties should negotiate with or actually collaborate with populists or extremists. If it were for the purpose of their cultivation, then no. No way, because that is impossible. There is no way you can cultivate populists or extremists. The outcome is always bad for Democrats, because they simply do not use the methods and instruments of totalitarian regimes. But it is necessary to face them and fight them with the aid of active society and active pro-democratic parties. And this is important, active society. Luckily, not all people in the Czech Republic see the activities of Czech communists and their friends, to which, unfortunately, to whom, unfortunately, our president belongs, as the people who should make the decisions and should lead the country. There is a strong civic movement now in the Czech Republic, which is actually organizing demonstrations in the streets. We had a huge demonstration half a year ago with about 500,000 people on one place in Prague, who protested against Czech government, the Czech president, and the anti-democratic tendencies that are now very visible in the Czech Republic. So, to sum it up and get back to the original question, the Czech Republic has succeeded in overthrowing communism, but it has not succeeded in overthrowing totalitarian thinking and totalitarian tendencies. We have gained our democracy, but we are now on a way to very easily lose it again. I don't think that there is a chance that the communists could win the elections. There is, however, a very strong chance that the communists will gain more and more power. As I mentioned today, the Communist Party is a party which holds the government in power. The winning party the party of the Prime Minister, Andrej Babiš, ANO, simply does not have enough representatives in the parliament. That's why they turned to the communists as to their helpers. Maybe it's because Andrej Babiš himself was a member of the Communist Party in the communist era. Some say that he worked for the secret police, but that is a different story, I think. To make sure that populist and totalitarian thinking and tendencies do not overwhelm or sort of do not become the brickstones or main ideas in the society, it is very important to have a well-educated and critical society which does not see everything as true. Today we live in times of, I would say, very fast and quick information. Something that is new, or an information that is new in the morning, is late or very old in the evening. Something that has happened a day before is actually, as if it were, long or old history the day after it happened. So people, or it's very important that people are taught in schools how to think critically, how not to impose every information they get as true, and how to look up the information they need and how to evaluate them. Because then they do not become victims of fake news and disinformation media, which are everywhere today. And educated and I would say strong society is the biggest danger that we can impose on populists and extremists. And it is the best instrument that we can use to tackle totalitarian regimes such as Russia or China, who are actually trying to sneak into our region. The Czech Republic is a member of the European Union and the North Atlantic Alliance. Yet, we are a country with the biggest Russian embassy in Europe. We have 140 Russian diplomats in Prague. Now, the Czech Republic is a country with a population of 10 million inhabitants. That's the same as the population of London. When you turn to the UK, the Russian embassy has only 80 diplomats. So that's a big disproportion. And my personal opinion is that Russia, of course, uses the Czech Republic as a Trojan horse inside the EU and the NATO. They can move freely around our country. They have actually, from the past, many friends in this country. I think that they also have access to many information that they would never have access to if it weren't for our past. And this is something that should be dealt with. And I think this is a task for the future generation of politicians, because this is something that the first generation of democratic politicians in the Czech Republic has failed in. As I said, there was no decommunization process, the communists weren't outlawed, and we can see today the results of this era. So I would like to again thank you very much for the opportunity I've been given, and not to forget, since this conference is being held and hosted by a Polish TV channel, I would like to take this opportunity to also thank the Polish foreign minister for standing up for me and criticizing Russia in the case of which I have described, which has happened to me when I have been blackmailed by the Russian officials. I would like to wish you all best of luck in fighting totalitarian regimes and tendencies, and I hope the times will get better again. Thank you very much.